Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Ilona Europa, Accent On London Edition, LA Talk Radio. So exciting today to have in my studio two wonderful sisters. So I think I need to tell people how we met. That's the most important to me, because one of the first people that I opened my mouth to and start talking happened to live in Santa Monica and recently moved to London. And her name is Rupinder. Hi.
Hi.
Okay. Your full name. Could you tell us your full name?
My full name is Rupinder Buller.
Buller. And I was like saying to you, oh, how do you like London? You know, where you are from? And you said to me that you are from?
Santa Monica.
And we are also from LA. But my daughter was working in Santa Monica, so it was very, very funny to meet a person who had the same experience like us. How many years you lived in LA?
I was in LA on and off since 91.
Wow. Okay. And then later we were talking a little bit more and you mentioned that you have amazing, wonderful, accomplished sister too. And what we find out later, we all are working in entertainment business, which was very, very exciting to learn more about your sister. Your sister is with us. So your name is?
It's Renu. Renu Faraway.
Wow. And I will maybe talk a little bit to Rupinder, because what I learn about you is that you are a filmmaker. You work for the Disney for many, many years, but really, somehow, somewhere, you got big award in a shorts movie categories in a festival. Where was this festival? One more time, if you can tell me.
Sedona. In Arizona.
Sedona. So tell us, what is the short about, and what was the award, and why you chose this topic for the short film?
Okay, so I did the film because I was, you know, like I was trying to make my own independent films. So I had a couple of projects, but they weren't going anywhere. They fell by the wayside, blah, 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 the usual story. So then I do yoga and I'm a trained yoga instructor. And so a friend of mine said, why don't you just go and make a movie? When I was feeling down, like, what's this all about kind of thing. So he said, why don't you just go and do something? So I think it was meant to be, because at that time I was here in London. My father wasn't well. So I just put out an ad on the internet saying, looking for people to help do a short film. And to my amazement, two or three really amazing people responded. And because I had done one page outline of what I wanted to do, so they said, oh, they really liked it and they wanted to work on it. And of course I said, there's no money in it, but they said, that's okay, we just wanna, you know, do this. So it was one weekend. And so we ended up shooting in Peckham, in Gangland Peckham. So we rented a warehouse where we got all sorts of stuff donated to us to do the set. And the guy who did my production design, he went to Pinewood Studios. So they said, oh, we're pulling down a set, you know, take whatever you need. Wow. So we took a truck and got whatever we needed. And then my cinematographer, Steen, and he was actually being mentored by ARRI, the people who rent out equipment. They're like the Panavision of the UK. So he got a huge truck full of equipment for free. So all I had to do was just get insurance. So really, we kind of did the whole thing in sort of a few days, and we shot it. And it took us like 23 hours to do the whole thing. And then the BBC gave us one of their editing suites. They said, well, when no one's using it, you guys can go in and do your editing. So we used to sit in a pub when they were busy. When people would come out, we would go back in there. And so we edited the whole thing. And then, and I jokingly said, you know, let's see if it makes it to anything, to any film festivals or anything. If it does, I'm going to get it tattooed on my foot.
Uh-oh.
And to my amazement, several people responded when I put the film out. You know, I even went to Cannes when it was work in progress. They saw it there. And so then one day I get this email from Sedona saying, congratulations, we love your film, we want to show it, can you come out? So when I told the crew, and then the first thing they said, remember what you said. So I thought, oh no. So I said, well, let me go to Sedona.
Ouch.
First. So I went there, and so, you know, I had my 15 minutes of fame. And so it's really the film, what the film is saying is that the mind is always free, you know. So when you see it, you know, it's all about being imprisoned and locked up, but really no one can ever lock your mind. No one can ever tell you what to think. Your thoughts are always free.
It's a beautiful, beautiful short film. Right away I got all message that you wanted to give to us. We need to give maybe people name of your film.
It's called Saluting the Sun.
Saluting the Sun. So everybody can go on YouTube right now, and later, anytime when you want. And please, you watch this movie. You will learn so much. I am your fan. I cannot wait when the next project will be. I know you say there was a few years ago, but your time is right now. All our time is right now if we decide to do something. So if I could also tell people your journey, because both of you sister, wonderful sister, were born in India, and I will be talking a little bit with your sister about her journey. But you decided to live life in America, and your sister is practically 99.9% UK person, of course, travel back and forth, but really she lives here. So why did you choose, and what education did you got, and where did you study, if you can tell us, and why America, and
okay.
Now London?
Okay, so let me just tell you one thing. I do have a tattoo on my foot.
assume you did it. You are lady of your world.
So why, you know, my whole life, I was in love with America. When I was a child here, to me, I was so disappointed when this country wasn't America. You know, I wanted to see the wide freeways. I wanted to see perpetual sunshine. I used to watch all the American shows, and I used to want to eat American food, which we did not have here. So like, you know, peanut butter, jelly sandwich. So I used to think jam. You know, jelly here is different. So I used to try and make those things. But I was just a huge fan, and I grew up watching film noir, all these American movies that really influenced me. I liked American literature. You know, in the summer, I used to pick an American author. I would read all the books. I read all of Steinbeck. And so it was like I was just destined to be there. And like whenever in school, my best friend was American. She was from Norman, Oklahoma. And I, because we went to a Church of England school, and so her father was transferred here. He was with the reorganized Church of Latter-day Saints. And so Nancy Barlow was my best friend because she was American. That was the thing. She's American, so she has to be my best friend. So I just loved everything American. So I used to go and eat American food with her. I loved American music. I liked everything American, you know.
Wonderful.
So I just had to be there. So when
it's
I landed,
amazing how this is that somebody
when I
feels
went,
in her.
I felt like it never felt
home.
Alien. I could drive straight away. And I used to, you know, all these Americans are so friendly. Because here, you know, people are like very uptight.
It's true.
And so we were just like a perfect match. Perfect match.
So
I love America.
So you were studying in America also?
The first time I went to study actually was I got a research grant to do, I was thinking of doing anthropology, social anthropology. I was doing like international relations, you know, concepts and theories of war and peace here. So in 1982, I got a grant to go and spend time with the Native Americans in New Mexico. So I was at UNM. And so I spent a year with the Pueblo Indians, and I did a lot of research on alcoholism. And I love New Mexico. When I got to New Mexico, I just felt like deja vu. I have been here before. You know, it was just amazing. And the people I met there to this day are my friends. They're Germans. They were also studying there on research grants and scholarships. So to this day, we're close friends. And then I came back, and the first thing I remember saying to my parents when they picked me up from the airport, I said, I'm going back, I'm not staying. So when I came back, and actually I started working, my first job was at BBC World Service. I was still studying, you know, so I knew a producer who was looking for somebody. So he said, oh, why don't you do this stuff for us? So I did some shows for them. And then I was here in London, and I was, you know, at some pretty awful gigs in journalism. Then Channel 4 had a training scheme, so then I got selected for that. So I was working on these shows, but I wasn't happy, you know. So I was applying to film schools and things, and I spent a year, every day I would apply. So then eventually I got 3 scholarships to go to study anywhere I wanted. So I chose the US. So I was in San Diego, because I'd been there, because my cousin was in San Diego. So I thought, okay, I'm going there. So I went, and to my amazement, it was like, again, you know, it was like coming home to me. And when I was there, you know, I was just working hard as I normally did. But you know, the first year, the faculty nominated me for excellence in graduate studies. And then I was selected. They're always, you know, I was always being awarded for this, awarded for that. I'm like, wow, you guys are so great. You know, you recognize my true talent, you know, which nobody does in Europe. So I was, then my professors, they helped me find an internship. Also, I worked while I was a student, while I was doing my postgrad. I worked with Mr. Rogers. I didn't know who he was. So we worked on award-winning documentaries. And I worked on another one called Women and Alcohol. It's a PBS, which also won awards. I worked on like 3 documentaries with my producer. I was an intern, but then she made me her associate producer. Sarah Luft, the great, wonderful Sarah Luft. And so then one of my professors helped me to get an internship at Chartoff Winkler. And again, I didn't know who they were until I got there. And then I was looking at all these posters of, you know, Raging Bull and Rocky. I'm like, oh my God, this is big time. So then they said to me, oh, can you read for us? And I said, how would I do that? So she gave me a sample of doing coverage of a script, which is like doing a synopsis. So I did one. She said, great. So I'll give you a couple of scripts a week. And so they paid me $50. And I thought, fine. I said, I can do more than 2. So from there, I had a friend at UCLA who became a good friend. And she's now the co-chair of the producers program. Her name is Denise Mann, a wonderful woman. So then she helped me find another internship. And by that time, Sundance also offered me a job. But then I thought I would have to go to Utah. And I thought, no, I don't want to go to Utah. So then Wildwood, Robert Redford's company, also offered me an internship. Then these other guys, Bronstein and Hammerdy in Santa Monica, they also offered me an internship. And so they offered me a job. They said, oh, great things are happening here up in there. So, and I thought, a while would I just be, you know, one more intern. So I went with these two guys and they were great, really great.
So that was in your late 20s or beginning of 30s, yes?
Yeah, late
20s. So you really were working with a lot of filmmakers and in a...
I was in the thick of it. I was in the thick of it because we were doing a project with Gail and Hurd. And she was married to Brian De Palma, so all these were like regular people into our office. And at that time, there was a young writer who was, you know, who was like writing, you know, but nobody really understood what he was about. So we had all his scripts. And, you know, I'm sure some people know who Jack Abramoff is. So he was one of our financiers. So we were doing a project called Fair Game. And so they hired this guy to do a rewrite for these scripts of Fair Game. And, but, you know, it wasn't happening. So to cut a long story short, this guy in the meantime went off to Sundance and met somebody else there and then got his first movie made. By that time, we had a project that had a bidding war, so we ended up at Disney. So that's how I ended up
at
Disney.
That's how you had, so you said more than 10 years in and out from Disney, yes?
Yeah.
So we are moving like to your 30s right now.
30s. But let me tell you who this, what happened with this guy who went off to Sundance.
Okay.
And I used to read his, when he was doing rewrites for Fair Game, he used to send, fax us the pages, handwritten, because he didn't have a computer. So I used to put them on the computer, you know. And then I would sometimes have to call him because I didn't understand his handwriting. So I would say, you know, it was like after work, 7, 8. And I was like, excuse me, Quentin, what does that word say? It's Quentin Tarantino.
Oh my gosh. So, no, you really snaked this gently, this information. This
so
is
he went up and did Reservoir Dogs when we were at Disney. So, you know, and his career, he just changed the whole movie industry, the whole genre.
And do you keep contact with these people or you just...
No, you know, no. People in the movie business, it's like, it's not that they're fickle. It's just, it's very fast-paced.
And
people come and go.
Yes.
Come and go.
You're right.
And it's very, very work-oriented. And no one really has the time, only because there's so much to do. And so when I was there, there was, you know, we were at Disney. There was so much going on. And his career took off. Unless you are traveling the same road and in parallel at the same time, it's, you know, you don't. But there were other people, I can tell you, you know, a guy who started as an assistant along with me, his name was Chris Moore. And it's the same Chris Moore, he went on to produce American Pie, that whole franchise,
wow,
you know?
Wow.
So it's like, it's just...
It's a journey. Who do you
yeah.
meet and who you have a pleasure to work with and learn from them? Because
that's
all
right.
Who you are right now and who you were through all these years, who you met, who you work with,
yeah.
and where your passion was. And obvious, I love to learn from people like you. You were so sweet. You said, oh, I will be talking very little, but I think I'm making this interview 2 hours interview because now I have so many questions that I want to ask you still. So I would like to continue and then we'll move with conversation with your sister because her life is amazing too. So let's take a break for some music. Natasha Mira, Invisible Hero.
Catch my breath. The world
So Rupinder will have two shows. There will be part one and part two of the show. So let me a little bit talk to you about years in LA. Yes, you said 10 years. Did they went fast or short?
I don't know where the time went.
So you think that if you work in a places that you love and work what you do, you don't really know that times fly, or you just were switching from one job to another and you woke up one day 10 years older? How was it? Did you enjoy your 10 years thing? You loved every moment?
I loved it, even the bad thing, because I learned. You see, I learned so much. And I can tell you, like, because I read so many scripts, because then I became a creative executive, you know, like, it's like I learned, like, you can tell me a story.
Could you give me your title? Because titles are very important.
Creative executive.
And mainly your job was to...
Find scripts for my company and for Touchstone Pictures. And so what it is like... The ratio is every 100 scripts you read, one is a maybe. So nobody reads script from page 1 to page 120, you know, unless it's a great script. Yeah. So you usually know between first 5, 10.
It's like
American
Idol, first minute. Yeah, if you have a voice, if not,
yeah.
So people put the best things in the beginning. Don't wait until middle of end of the story. Oh, if you read 10 more pages, you will find out how cool this is. It's not true. You need to grab attention fast.
That's it. So, I mean, I know a great story. You know, I mean, I've read so many books. It's like I met so many great people, and every day was different. Every day was an adventure. And it's, you know, to me, it's amazing how some of us started as assistants together, and some people. And I remember saying to, I won't mention who someone's name, and I said, my God, you know, you're so high up, we don't even breathe the same air anymore, you know. So, but somehow it didn't happen for me. Like at that time, people, a bunch of us who started out as assistants, and people went on to direct, produce, write, you know. And... like this, you know, well-known writers as well. I won't mention names because they may not like it. But it's like some of the people, their careers really took off. They became, you know, like these A-list people. And some people just left town altogether. A friend of mine, he said, oh, I'm moving to Hawaii with my girlfriend. We're going to make jewelry. I'm like, what? What's that got to do with anything? He goes, no, I've had it. So I kind of went sideways, and I thought, well, let me see if I can produce my own movies. So we, you know, I had a script which was optioned by MTV, and you know, it was like so many times, almost, but it didn't happen. Then I had another script, but it just didn't quite, you know, all the stars didn't align for me. So then I went off, and you know, then people just said, go write your own stuff. And so I did. I've written a couple of scripts, and then I did that short film. And then I thought, no, you know, I need to do something else. And you know, for me, I need to pour my energy into something that I like, and then I'm 100% behind it.
But you are mentioning that you wrote a few scripts on your own. Did you pitch them to somebody, or they are sleeping somewhere under your?
Yeah,
you know,
this
pillow.
This one, Love and Longing in LA, which I wrote with Peter Brosnan. Like I mentioned, it was optioned. You know, there was interest at MTV, and somebody at Gersh liked it. They wanted to do something with it. And but then I wrote another script, which is set in New Mexico. It's a Gothic Western. 1892. It needs a bit of a polish, you know. So
yeah, can you rewrite them? Because I see that in a way, a few years passed, you closed this chapter and you probably moved on to another project. But sometimes it's like writing a song. The same I was always telling my daughter Natasha Mira. She wrote amazing songs when she was 16, 17, 18 years old. I was telling her they're amazing. She said, no, mommy, this is just the beginning. They're not good enough. But then many, many years, not so many years ago, but when she was working on her first full album, I said, look into your writing for a few years ago. So she discovered, and I discovered again, all the songs with little tiny tweak. They are just amazing. What I'm saying, a lot of people think, oh, it was I need something new. I don't believe in that. It's like vintage clothes. You just bring a little bit modern jewelry to it, but when you have a dress, it doesn't matter if it's class, if it's greatness, you just repackage. So I don't know, I want to be inspiring, inspiring you too, because you both sisters are amazing. And I already have so many thoughts what we'll be one day doing together, how our and why our life intertwined in the way how they do. And hopefully we'll be friends forever. So you never know, but I cannot wait in private to talk to you what the scripts are. I would love to read, if you allow to read, because I don't even know if I ever read a full script of, I read 2 or 3 pages, but not really full script from the beginning to end. So you say that never your stars align to the moment that all your hopes and dreams that you thought of making a film for yourself or produce something bigger will happen, and now you took a different direction in your life. So is this, after many years in Disney, was the time to move back to UK?
No, I didn't. I never moved back to the UK with thinking, oh, this is it, this is permanent. Mm-hmm. No, at that time, I mean, a lot happens, another writer, she adapted a Joseph Conrad novella into a script. And so I was actually involved with setting up a very successful Asian theater company, the first one in this country. Mm. And it's super successful. So it has we have
the What is the name? Can we say it?
It's called Tara Arts. So I was Tara, T-A-R-A, Arts. And so I was one of the original, members. I used to do press and publicity for them. And I used to travel up and down the country, when we had a little play at weekends. So I would go ahead and, would be in some grotty, drafty YMCA town hall, putting on these plays. So anyway, so then when Laurie showed, the writer of this novella, just Conrad, showed me her adaptation, I instantly thought, and I said, oh, this would make a great play. The way it's written, it's a great play. And so, and she said, I think Vanessa Redgrave was interested. So she said, okay, shop it around. So I said, okay, I'm going to go to London. So I was here, but at the same time, Laurie was in Paris and she had met with Jean-Jacques Benix. Mm. So he wanted us to get together. So I met him. So we were thinking of, how to do this. Anyway, so as luck would have it, he was trying to do something with Christian Slater and it wasn't happening. And so he needed to do a successful movie at that time. And so anyway, the way it didn't quite work out, but that's how I ended up in London. So I was here. And then a friend of mine, Corey Tynan, brought me another script. And he said, well, you're in London, shop it around, and if you can do something with it, run with it, and you'll be the producer. And I said, okay, and I've known Corey, for a long time. So I met then this Indian, Italian actor who lived across the road from me. I was in Chiswick, and his name is Kabir Bedi, and he's very big in Italy and very big in India. He did Sandor Khan, this action TV drama. Anyway, so he invited me to a party and where this Indian director, Shekhar Kapoor, was there. And Shekhar had done Elizabeth, So it was at, and he was working on something with Andrew Lloyd Webber. So it was at his place. So we were there. So Shekhar goes to me, so, how's life after Disney? How's life after LA? And so I told him, so I asked him what he wanted to do next. He goes, I want to do either sci-fi or a Western. So I said, I might have something for you. So I sent him this script, but he never got back to me. And so I just thought, he didn't get it. But then he'd gone back to Mumbai. So then this is how things go. So I had this great script. And so I wanted Jeff Bridges, so we're trying to get it to him. But in the meantime, Dark Horse, the company, had the rights to the title. which I didn't know at the time. So we were trying to think of a different title to this. Yeah. But anyway, I lost that. So they took it away from me because there was big money, and eventually got done with Daniel Craig, and it's called Cowboys and Aliens. So by that time, I just had it, you know? So...
Gosh, but you see, everybody who listens, you know, this is like, accent is amazing. You know, putting accent on people's life stories, I think, is the hardest things ever. Happened that we are from all around the world, but we can learn from each other how life really goes up and down and up and down. We are like cooking the soup or cooking the best dishes ever. Eventually, I really, really believe when people are so creative, that stars eventually lined up and something amazing is happening, will happen. But you know, somebody listens and say, oh my gosh, she was so close to this, so close to that. So, but people that you met, people that you talked, people that you dreamt about, that people who read, this is like, you can go crazy when things are not happening in this business. You can go crazy because you are so close, and then boom, everything is zero, and so close and zero. You need to just shake it off, like Taylor Swift said, and start all over doing something else. So how did you shake it off at this little, you know, big disappointment? And what was the next project?
Well, you know, that's the time. Then I did the short. So when I won the award.
So
and I
that
thought,
was the time when you decided to focus on yoga, focus on a message, focus on his free spirit.
Well, I always did yoga. You know, it was always in the background. I think that's what kept me sane.
But was it about the theme, the spirituality and the freedom of soul? Then you cannot get locked. Your spirit is always alive and free. So where did you get this from?
Well,
this topic for
you know,
your
it's
show.
Just, I
did
don't
you
know,
meet maybe. Somebody? Because the actor is amazing. He really, you know, his body, his mind, his look, he's so into what he's doing.
No,
it's just
no,
really,
I think,
how does this work?
I don't know. I think maybe that's just my nature because I don't give up easily. And so, and also because I know that I know a good film. I know a good story if somebody tells it to me. Because I was always interested in stories. I was always interested in narrative. I was really good in history and English in school. It just didn't require any effort. So I know that's, you know, like some people are good at technical things and fixing things. Some people are naturally good in maths. So I just knew I was good at this. I knew a story, you know, a good story when I heard it. So, and I remember somebody saying to me, you know, well, if you can do it once, you can do it again. So I said, but I just know I didn't want to give up, you know. And so...
So there was the time for the short. And I still want to know, what is your tattoo like on you? Because you didn't tell us. What is
It's the
written?
Sun.
Oh, like sun as
yeah,
a
like
little
the sun
emoji
in,
of sun.
Like the sun in the sky, because it's called Saluting the Sun.
Ouch! Was
Energy.
Hurting? Was hurting when they did this?
Not really. It was more was hurting. What am I going to do?
And what
How
did you tell
cover...
your mommy and daddy?
Oh, my dad. With my dad.
Crazy.
So you know, the thing is, my dad, my father was a doctor. So I remember clearly coming, and he was ill at that time. I remember clearly coming down the stairs. And I'm like, ooh, and I didn't have socks on. I'm like, oh, no. So my dad, I didn't know he was looking at my feet. And he just goes, what's happened to your foot? Oh, there's a fungus. What's happened to your foot? There's something growing.
Oh, poor daddy.
So I said, no, nothing like that. And I went down to the house. And I just kind of kept my feet covered, you know.
And they never came back.
But it's going to come off one of these days.
Hopefully not, because we want your another foot to have another emoji with something else, because next short or next project, so we will make you do this too. If you win, something else, another foot need to be awarded.
Yes.
So, yeah, what the next? So now we are, you are probably in 40s. You're a very young lady, you know, still. And you are in your 40s, you are between America and UK. You are lucky to have your sister coming back and forth probably too, because I know you were working and you were working for Discovery in USA. So you both had some contacts, yes? Did you have a chance? I know you were in New York mostly, yes? And your sister was in San Diego when you were, living in LA. Where did you live when your sister was in New York?
She was back here when I was.
So she was in LA. And in between, I came back because my father had very rare lung disease. What was Dad's lung?
Idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis.
So nobody knew what it was. That's what it means. It means nobody knew. So they were treating him for cancer, but he didn't have cancer. So it was a very difficult... There were like few years where I just had to focus on my family. So during that time, I went to a coffee shop and I wrote a whole script. I don't know how I did it, but I wrote a whole script. And it's called Enchantment. And this is the Gothic Western I was telling you about.
Yes.
And I call it Enchantment because it's set in New Mexico, and that's known as Land of Enchantment. And when I was in Sedona, I used to go for breakfast at this beautiful casita set in the mountains called Enchantment. So, and again, you know, my heart was there, but I was here, and so, you know, my love for New Mexico and the history. So I wrote this, I don't know, I wrote it very fast. So it was just like waiting to come out, and I did it. So, but it needs a rewrite. But I love this script.
And book, they're so close in a relationship with this. Can you focus on something bigger, like with 500 pages?
No.
No, never book. I think sometimes you write a book and you bring the book, you know, successful book, and say, now I want a movie. Yeah. So maybe you are writing script, but
I don't know, because the way my mind thinks is just always like in scenes, in acts, and you know.
Of course, it's a romance. Yes, it's a romance. What was the theme?
It's a Gothic Western romance. There's always romantic interest, right?
Yeah.
But I've made my
Western. I don't know if ever
my protagonist is a Navajo.
Oh,
and so it's and I wrote it. The hero, I wrote it with Robert Downey Jr. in mind. You see,
if he hears us, this movie script is waiting to be produced.
Him or Joaquin Phoenix, somebody like that. Okay. Somebody, you know, like kind of like with a tortured past inside, but like real depth. And so who already, you know, the minute you see them, they already come with a lot of stuff. So this one I really, really love. So I need just some time to revisit and work on that. But
time is a now. It's no sometime. I know in a way you are very busy in London right now. I don't know if it's okay to tell people why you are here. But to me, this is a very noble cause. You mentioned that your daddy was not feeling well a few years ago, and you also spent a lot of time in London. You drop off everything and just you needed to take care of your daddy. Now you have mommy who is not feeling well, your mom, and you are here also for the reason to taking care of her.
My mom has dementia. She's been diagnosed with dementia. So
my mom had this too, you know, so we know that this is something all of us can not looking forward to, but who will take care of us? That's the scariest part of getting older and thinking, you know, how life will end for all of us. I feel guilty forever because when my mother was redying for a year and a half with dementia and a lot of different things, strokes and stuff like that, I had also very horrible situation in America, so I had very hard time to be with her in Poland. And even when my mother was a wonderful place with nurses and only few people in the house and was paid and was private and everything, I knew deep in my heart, if I would be with her, her sickness would be much, much slower, because every time when I was visiting her, she remembers so much. And then I knew when I was leaving her behind with people much sicker than her, she's losing everything what she remembered again. So her, it's just petrifying to not be able to help your own parents in the way how you wanted and you could, but I couldn't. So you made an amazing decision to move your life from LA or to London. So you are here almost a year right now, yes?
To be a year. Yeah,
and I will say, when I saw you, and a few months ago I saw before your mommy, and now I can say your mama improved amazingly physically, and she was visiting me with you, and she's very lively and wonderful woman. So I will say you're doing maybe the bestest job.
So now we will take a break for another song, Ilona Europa, Wonderful Feelings.
Sister next to you, so I'm keeping Renu a little quiet.
No,
I know
fine.
That in a funky way I was hoping that you're both live in America somehow intertwined, but looks like when you were in America Renu was in London, and then vice versa. So that would be very easy, will be fun to see how and why life goes this way. The two sisters, you both are born in India. Where you both were born? What part of India?
North India, Ludhiana. It's in Punjab.
Oh boy. And I know you were a baby when you moved.
Yes.
And you were like a few years.
I was like 9.
Yeah, no, so you remember a lot. So you are, Renu, you are practically completely English.
Yes.
Person, your mind, your body. You never had this amazing dream like, I want to wake up in France, and that's what I feel, all in America. That's how I feel. You really feel purely, purely connected with London, yes?
With London, yeah. Well, we grew up in the Midlands, in Birmingham, and the way my sister feels about America, I felt about London. So
wow.
My whole life, I just wanted to move to London. Whenever we would visit London, it felt like in Birmingham, everything was in black and white. But as soon as you move to London, it's in magnificent colour. And
even when it's mostly grey, I agree with you, is the most colourful, the most beautiful town in the world. And I love America. Of course, I spent almost 30 years there. So I love Poland. I love America. Now I'm in love with London. Thank you, my daughter, Natasha Miraya, for allowing us to move here and have this experience. But I want to close this 1 hour show, because even when I planned that this will be a double sister show, really we spoke almost 40 minutes or 45 minutes, and I will be having some music play between our conversation with you, Rupinder. So if I could close our hour, your sister, both sisters are here, but when I finish a beautiful interview with you, I will move to your sister. So if you can somehow wrapped around your beautiful life, creative life, you're filled with so many narrative, like you say, you read, you love, you write, you dream, and you have your big 15 minutes of fame, very good one, because anybody who can win award and number one, this is like, wow, what a success story. And you have all life in front of you. Right now you are with mama. What are you doing in the meantime, after when your mama goes to sleep or she's in peace? How do you feel your life here in London?
Here, you know, I've just decided to spend 100% of my time, my best energy, best attention, to get my mom to be in a better place. Because when I came, she was kind of like an emotional wreck, physically weak, lacked confidence. And so now she's not like that.
No. No.
She was in a wheelchair, not able to walk outside.
Now she walks stairs.
She walks, she walks up and down the stairs.
She talks, she hears.
You can have a conversation with her, you know. It's like her confidence is good and she wants to do things. So I feel this year, exhausting as it has been, it's really helped my mother. So
I see some short on this topic, short film on this topic, because I would love to bring you back and talk about how you care about mama, because I saw so big difference, and I was like even more guilty knowing that I messed up so much, maybe the last years of my mother's life, by not being so, you know, strong about giving her more attention and trying to bring the most memory that she had. And she loved singing. She remembered words to songs, and I was singing with her. So I know how important this is. And even when it's now 100% on mama, mama is feeling better. I think the next percentage, whatever you devote, you need to put maybe in this topic to help people how to take care of people with dementia. Because you will have your own way. You are giving 100%. So the 100% need to be given to people and teach them a little bit what you learn, how to deal with your mommy, how to help her be better, so much better. And then I know that new project will be coming, yes? Soon they will. We know this, your life shows and proves that. So today, if you can give us a spelling of your name one more time, and title of your short, that people can go on YouTube and see it. So one more time, your full name is?
Rupinder Bhullar. It's spelled R-O-O-P as in Paul, IND as in David, ER, Buller, B for boy, HULLAR, and the short is, 3 minute short, is Saluting the Sun.
Thank you so much for today, and we'll have a little break, we'll play music.
Thank you.
And we'll start one more hour with Reino. Yes, thank you so much. You are here with your body and soul. And I know how close sisters you are, so I cannot wait to talk to you about your very, very creative life. Also, I love you girls so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.